Roselli Northern supports upstate New York construction with over 400 employees, 250 trucks, 9 ready-mix plants, 4 blacktop plants, and 40 aggregate mines. But their most important number is your bottom line. Contact them today to see why Roselli Northern has been the choice for contractors and project managers across upstate New York since 1929.
Everybody, welcome in to Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice. I'm the Paul Russo portion of this program. Next to me, as always, the Nick Felice portion of this program. Nick, how you doing?
Very well. This is the end of January today, so this is one of my favorite days of the year.
Carry on.
That means the hardest month of the year, winter, is over, and we can just move on and start, you know, following the path to spring. So,
okay, a couple questions I want to ask you. You do know winter goes until March,
I'm
right?
I'm aware. Sometimes April, if we're lucky.
Sometimes May as well.
But January is the worst month of the year.
Okay.
It's long, it's cold, it's dark.
Okay.
But it is Groundhog's Day.
Not yet, but yeah.
On Friday. How would you react? I mean, I'm sure you've heard of the movie Groundhog Day, right?
I have.
How would you react if someone came up to you and said they've been living the same day over and over and over again?
I would probably say the same.
Would you?
I have as well.
That's funny. But I think I would believe them and help them out.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Depends what I got going on.
Sure.
But, yeah. Groundhog's Day is just outside my top 50 holidays.
Power ranking Groundhog's Day in terms of holidays. Yeah. So today... NFL, obviously, recap championship weekend. That'll be pretty much it. We might touch – I don't know if I really want to touch anything Super Bowl-wise just yet.
Your team's last one without a head coach? Last hour?
So, we have that. Then we'll go touch on the NBA and NHL stuff because both are through the halfway points of their season. NHL's at their All-Star break. The NBA, everybody's played at least 44 games, I believe it is. So, They're a hair over halfway home. So.
NFL's at their All-Star break, too.
That's correct.
It is.
So
I know that every year. NHL, NFL, All-Star break, same time every year.
Never used to be that way. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, and, so let's start with the NFL. But before we get to the games, we do have one clerical thing to touch on in our picks.
Oh, yeah.
Nick brought to my attention last week that he did not take Tampa Bay. I called BS, but in fact, he did say Detroit. I had written down Tampa Bay. So, Nick, you currently went into last weekend tied with me in picks. That was the thing anyway we saw in air. Turns out you're one game up on me, and that remained the case through this weekend as we both went 1-1. We both took Kansas City. We both took Detroit, and here we are on the other side.
What I'll say is, thank you for clarifying that. But we could stay tied if you want.
No.
I mean, you could have messed up earlier in the season. I would never.
The
know.
Record indicates you have a one game lead.
I'll take
going
it.
Into the final game of the year.
Two games. Are you picking
the Pro Bowl? We're not picking the Pro Bowl.
Do we have a provisional Super Bowl pick in case something drastic happens next week?
No.
Okay. He's
now,
guaranteeing a show.
Now, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to do a tiebreak on the game. And we're going to do total points for that one, like any other standard pick'em style matchup in that scenario. So,
all right.
It's my one game lead I took in from the regular season. Means nothing.
And to make this fair... To make this interesting, I know we're not there yet, the part of the show yet. You'll pick, and I'll get my Y, and I'll pick the opposite.
Correct, probably. But that's for next week. We aren't picking this week, Nick.
That's right.
So, but let's jump in. Let's start with the AFC game, the first game of the day on Sunday, and that was Kansas City at Baltimore. Kansas City comes away victorious in Baltimore. interesting game that ended up being clouded because of the stuff we'll touch on in the NFC game, in my mind. But things got going pretty early on in this game.
Pre-game,
and I'm intrigued to see hear your thoughts on this, because for me, I think it's a heck of a bunch of nothing, for the most part.
The Tucker stuff.
Yeah. I think, to me, and for those who maybe don't know, Mahomes and Kelce and the rest of a couple other Chiefs offensive players are out trying to warm up. It is standard for the opposing team's special teams to also be warming up on that end of the field. What isn't the standard is kind of the stuff that Justin Tucker was kind of doing within where the Chiefs were. That being said, Travis Kelce asked him to move his helmet. He didn't, so he just kind of threw it off to the side. That kind of sparked a thing. And the reason why I say it's a heck of a whole bunch of nothing is I think a lot of the people are just complaining because they're maybe sick of the Chiefs, which that part I get. But I think a lot of it, too, is just the fact they're sick of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. And the one thing I want to say to people on that front is keep talking about that some more. People are going to talk about more on the media side of things. Like, it's not that hard to understand. Like, if you don't want any more of Taylor Swift, stop talking about her, period, in that sense. Good or bad. It's not that difficult to pick up.
Sounds like you're on the Chiefs side of this argument.
I admittedly am.
This is coming from a guy who, look,
I'm a big special teams guy. That was the side of the ball I predominantly played on, admittedly, when I played. But to that end, like, and obviously high school, you're nowhere near what the pro level is in that sort of sense, right? But, you know, there's an element of no matter what sport you kind of play, I guess basketball, there's a couple of them where you don't really see that as much. The only one that kind of comes out to me maybe is like baseball in a way at the high school level. But you definitely don't see it at the pro where you just kind of see warm-ups kind of naturally intertwining a little bit. But like as long as you stay out of the way of the other team, like they're not going to really care, you know? And that's my thing with it. It's like, come on, man. You know what? You know the deal. Like, don't be upset. And I don't know. A lot of this also at this point, after the game, just kind of sounds like sour grapes type thing, and you know, yeah.
Well, I am on the complete opposite side of this argument.
Really? All right.
And I am all on Justin Tucker, and this has nothing in my head. This has nothing to do with Taylor Swift. I'm one of the biggest Swifties you ever meet. Back to December, Wildest Dreams, Love Story, Best Features, Highway, Don't Care, and honorable mention, Enchanted. So I'm a huge Swiftie.
How about Picture to Burn, her actual best song?
She's got a lot of hits. I'm a big fan. Has nothing to do with her. This is about the lack of respect. If this is what it really looks like, you know, I don't know if it was a joke or I don't know how, but the way Tucker talked post-game is that, you know, he asked, I think you said Travis, but I think he told Patrick Mahomes, or Patrick Mahomes asked him to move his helmet.
It was one or the other.
Yeah, and he asked him to move his helmet, and Justin Tucker moved it, but I guess he wanted to move it a little bit more, and here comes Travis Kelce, who's arrogant as crazy, you know, arrogant as hell right now. And here he comes, moving like he's moving trash. He just throws his helmet off to the side. And you know, a lot of other people around and wondering what the heck's going on. And then, you know, that thing, the kicker thing. Patrick Mahomes kicked it once. And then Tucker puts it back and he throws it again. If this is true and this is not a joke, I don't know if at first it looked like Tucker was like thinking it was a joke, and then it became like serious, like they wanted Tucker to get out. This is Tucker's field. And I don't know if you people know who Justin Tucker is, but he is one of the greatest players in this league, one of the greatest faces in this league. And I mean, the man had MVP votes not that long ago. Like, that's crazy to me that a kicker had MVP votes. I think the only way a kicker can win MVP is he went perfect, averaged like 4 field goals a game, had maybe 6 to 7 game winners.
He does have an MVP, right?
A kicker has an MVP?
Yes, back in the 80s. Played for Washington. I can't remember the name off the top of my head.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I just assumed never.
Nope.
He must have had a great season. But anyway, the fact that he's getting MVP votes as a kicker in this day and age is crazy to me. And if this is true, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's heads are getting way too big because they disrespected Justin Tucker on his own field, and I just will not stand for this. And the end of the story here of this is that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's heads are getting way too big, and that was completely disrespectful.
What about Zay Flowers, then?
We're not talking about Zay Flowers. We're talking about Justin Tucker. Saying, at this very moment, saying, they disrespected Justin Tucker, and I won't stand for this.
Justin Tucker's a fraud.
Justin Tucker's...
I'm sick of the goat talk around Justin Tucker.
Yeah. I could see.
Man misses enough field goals now.
He's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, okay.
He is the greatest of all time. He got disrespected on his own field.
His own field.
Yes. He's trying to warm up for the game, as he said in his press conference after. He's trying to warm up just like them. Just because they're the star quarterback and star tight end of this league doesn't give him the right to do that.
Well, maybe his MVP quarterback should have played better. How about that?
Well, I'm not a huge Lamar Jackson fan, but I do think Tucker was disrespected there. That's all I had to say on that.
Well, let's move on to the actual game stuff then, and be remiss if we didn't have a ton of talk about with it, because honestly there wasn't like a lot of great on either side of the ball in this, in my opinion. Maybe more on the offensive end than the defensive ends. We'll touch on that though. Baltimore, and I don't know if some of the stuff kind of came home to roost for them a little bit, but, like, I kept saying, like, and I get they had numbers saying that they had a really great, like, all-time great team, but, like, they never struck you all year as being uberly great. The one part that stuck out to me really more than anything, and I go back to this, and I've been on this for a while, kind of interesting kind of hearing discourse about it every now and then. And it's kind of interesting given who Baltimore or Lamar went up against in Patrick Mahomes, right? And I get MVP this year for Lamar. I'd accept it. Wouldn't be my vote, but I'd accept it.
Who is your vote?
I mean, realistically, and I know it's not going to be the case, I'd vote Myles Garrett, which never would happen anyway. So in that sense, I'd probably go Josh Allen, to be completely honest. I mean, you take Josh Allen away from the Bills this year, it's completely a different story. Very much so. Anyway. But it's very funny because you'll get this run that the Chiefs have had to go through this year. You know, the Dolphins might be the outlier of these other games at this point, but, you know, you have to go through Tua, who... Yeah, at worst is good, right? You go through Buffalo and Josh Allen, who I would claim and I would put on that second tier level of quarterback as it stands right now. And I'll get to that in a second, what I mean by that. And then you go through Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, who Lamar is definitely a tier two quarterback. I think what I'm trying to say here is Patrick Mahomes might be the only tier one quarterback in the league right now. And I think that just kind of showed in this last game and everything else. Lamar's a really good quarterback. You know, he is one hell of an athlete. But I remember, and this is now 6, 7 years ago, right? I remember seeing him with Louisville in college when they came up here to play Syracuse. And I will give him this. He's got a hell of an arm. It's an absolute can of an arm. I don't know where it's going, though. He does not throw a good football.
His accuracy.
He does not throw a good football. And that, I don't know if it was fully on display against Kansas City, but you saw that against Kansas City. It was really weird, man. He wanted to be a passer too often, I think, in that game. He didn't take advantage of his legs enough. And I think that put him in an interesting spot. And it's tough. Because, like I said, he probably will be MVP. I don't, like I said, won't be my vote. But at the end of the day, the best quarterback in the NFL went into Baltimore against what people said was a great defense and, frankly, just did what he had to do, and it was all in the first half. The Chiefs did nothing in the second half on offense. And I think what you saw is probably, in all honesty, one of the better defenses the Chiefs have had now in this run. You know, every year I've gone into them with saying they're kind of just a bend don't break defense and they get away with it, but that's all you need. This defense is a little bit more than that. Now they don't get a ton of turnovers or anything like that, but they get stops. they'd get stops, and that was on full display on Sunday afternoon, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is it's kind of like the opposite of their other runs. I think the defense is what's led this team to the Super Bowl this year. And the fact that you have those douchebags and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce on their team, you know, they give them their props. They are great players, but they when you have them and plus this great defense, the best defense they've had in this, in quotes, I'll say dynasty.
It is a dynasty,
and yeah, it's hard to stop and hard to beat, and they just went out and beat the best team in the NFL. This is the big game, the Super Bowl, but I think their hardest games are behind them. I think the Bills game and the Ravens game were their two hardest, and now they get to play old Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, we'll get to that, though, here in a second, a little bit more. But, yeah, and then Baltimore's defense, you know, I thought it did play well collectively. They just didn't get the stops when they needed to, and that was all in the first half, in a sense. And I guess, too, maybe to that degree, right, was like that final play. It was this, well, final play for the Chiefs that iced it, right, with, of all people, MVS making a catch. But it is kind of wild to me how, and it was what I was kind of worried about with Baltimore. It's like that defense sure was great, but, man, they gave up a lot of points pretty often this year. And I know it wasn't necessarily the case, you know, on Sunday, but it was certainly the case that it was evident they needed to step up and they just didn't when it mattered. It's wild because we give a lot of crap, or at least I give a lot of crap, and in my mind it's justifiably so, right, to Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, you know, for example, and this is why I'm going to use them, about, right, how, like, they haven't done anything in a while, and they've kind of been stuck in neutral. For as good as Baltimore usually is in the regular season, they really haven't done anything in the playoffs in a while now.
I didn't realize that was the first time they hosted that game in years.
Yeah.
Been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, their playoff Super Bowl runs were on the road.
Not to interrupt either. Go back to them because they're the rivalry between each other. Everybody, and I go back to this, and I think Harbaugh is a better coach than Tomlin, but if they aren't kind of the same type of coach at this point where it's like they get them to a point, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I look at them both same type of coach. A lot of people look at Tomlin as better than Harbaugh.
I think Harbaugh's better than Tomlin.
Yeah, I think they're about the same. They're both really good, though. I like them both. I mean, they both have the one Super Bowl. Both haven't done a lot lately. Yeah, they're both great in my mind.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'll be interesting. This Chiefs team, this is the wild part about this thing, too, with the Chiefs. And we probably won't talk really about this until probably weeks really here down the line because of when the offseason really gets going and everything like that. But, like, you know they're going into this offseason knowing what they need to spend to get somebody in there on offense. Like, this is wild to me that, like, the fact that this team's in the Super Bowl, and it's definitely, at least on offense, the worst team that they've had in this run. Defensively, I'm with you. I think it's probably the best defense they've had in this run. So it's really interesting, the contrast, now they flipped. But
they got bored. They wanted to change it up.
Pretty crazy. Well, you don't willingly do that, or you don't want to do that. But, yes, correct.
And it was huge. They signed Chris Jones. Was week two.
Yeah.
That helped start their defense. But
and that the tough part of that, too, is that I get it, but, like, I mean, he was there last year, the year before.
yeah.
Just one of those things.
So it's not the year of the Harbaughs. It's not the year of Michigan either.
No. Yeah, Detroit. I want to start off with here with that Detroit-San Fran. Obviously, the 49ers end up coming from behind and winning against the Lions. And I don't mind. I haven't seen a ton of people do this take, so I don't mind being out here on this limb. But, like, Detroit lost it. It wasn't so much that San Francisco won it, but Detroit lost it.
100%.
I mean, a lot of people in the immediate did do the Dan Campbell, and justifiably so in this case, but we'll get to that in a second. You know, did the Dan Campbell stuff about, you know, just take the three, why are you gambling like you did all year type stuff. But they moved pretty quickly to move on to Brock Purdy and how it was Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy won the game for the 49ers with his legs. Definitely wasn't with his arm. That's for sure. It was with his legs.
Unless the ball bounces a certain way.
Correct. And, again, probably something we'll discuss here in a second with that. But, yeah, to me it was more Detroit lost that game than San Fran won. And a lot of the worries I had with San Francisco going into that game reared its head.
Yeah.
And right off the bat, even.
I mean, San Francisco is in the Super Bowl again. But, man, has it not been easy. They have escaped by two games here. And I mean, let's face it, I wanted the Lions to win this game. And it was just heartbreaking. I'm not putting any blame on Dan Campbell.
Well.
You know, I'm not. I just, all these coaches do these crazy things now. Going for it. The analytics and all this side of football. A lot of coaches do this now. Just because it you know, it came back on him in this game doesn't mean that he was making the wrong decision. Sure, everyone makes wrong decisions, whether it's in football or in life. You know, it happens.
True.
And Brock Purdy, if he has that second half like he did in that first half, this is a whole different storyline we're talking about. We're talking about Brock Purdy, when's he going to get replaced, and who's replacing him? Uh-huh. And now he's, has he proved the haters wrong? No. Brock Purdy is a system quarterback who is on a loaded team. And if the Niners had a quarterback for the last decade, they would have won probably multiple Super Bowls by now. But yet, they have still not won a damn thing in years. And if you want to compare this Super Bowl, which I think is a boring Super Bowl in my eyes, just looking to drink, have a good time, and maybe play some squares. But to me, this is a boring Super Bowl because here's the comparison in baseball, because here's what we got. We got Astros Dodgers. That's what we have here, and that would be a boring World Series in my mind. Let me finish.
Okay.
You got the Chiefs here, won a couple times, dynasty. That's what the Astros are. You got the Dodgers, haven't won anything. Don't count 2020. Haven't won anything in years, and that's what the Niners are, and they keep being relevant but never win.
See,
we have Astros Dodgers here in the Super Bowl, and I am pissed. But
I'll
let you go before I finish talking about
it. I don't know if I vehemently disagree with you, but I disagree.
Yeah, disagree.
I do agree, I think, maybe to a degree about, the Chiefs thing. I don't know if I'd go Astros element with it. I think I'd maybe lean more, in all honesty, probably, I'd probably, in all honesty, would go Red Sox. Maybe not quite Yankee level of hate, but Red Sox, where they do have likable guys, they have hateable guys on that team. San Fran Dodger comp, I don't know if I'd go there. I think it's more Texas Ranger-y in a way. You know, I don't know. There could have been worse. In all honesty, if you're the NFL, I think you probably got the second most preferred matchup in a way, in all honesty. If you're the NFL, I think you probably definitely did not want Baltimore Detroit. I don't think. Look, all Super Bowls are good.
Yeah,
I disagree with you. The only one in my mind that I remember, and this is very funny, I'm going to phrase it like this. To me, that were bad Super Bowls, and this is all in hindsight, the two that stick out, there's two, was back in, 2006, I think, Colts-Bears, that Super Bowl.
I'm talking about boring going into the game.
Oh, I think, retrospectively, it should have been boring going into the game that Colts-Bears won.
Boring overall.
And we really should have seen the writing on the wall about the Broncos and Panthers. Actually, that's not
8 years
a couple
ago.
Years ago. That's 8 years ago. So
The Patriots-Rams one was awful. But that wasn't
Patriots Rams one. Are you talking the turn of the millennial one?
No, 13-3.
That one 4 years ago or five years ago.
Yeah, awful.
Yeah,
but this could be a great game. Niners Chiefs. It probably should be a great game. But I'm talking about just going to the hype level. What are the storylines?
Let's talk about the storylines then from
the Lions game,
the Lions and San Fran.
Because
that next week can be our storyline for the Super Bowl.
That's what I mean, boring. A lot of storylines going in. Niners going to win their sixth Super Bowl. And I mean, maybe that they haven't won one forever, but the Chiefs, who cares? But this game, it's heartbreaking, and yes, you can never guarantee an NFC Championship game spot again. You just can't. I mean, the Cowboys haven't got one since 1890. But, look at the Cowboys. They're still trying to get back to the NFC Championship game. You can't guarantee it, but what the Lions did this year, no one expected them to even be in this game. And the division is getting better, but they're still the front runners to win this division. If they could take that next step, there's no doubt that they could become the number one seed in the NFC next year. They're just getting better and better. And they're going to have their offensive coordinator back next year. So things are looking up for the Lions.
Back.
Yes. Yeah, I know. He really put Washington.
I don't want to interrupt. But did you hear about Ben Johnson, how he told Washington and the other teams?
Yeah.
Well, at least on the Washington end of things, they were mid-flight on their way to conduct his interview.
Yeah, they had to go visit him.
Yeah. And they told him not to. I'm like, oh, that's a choice.
Yeah. he's rubbed me the wrong way the last couple of days. But, you know, don't
distract, though.
2024 will not be the year the Lions go to the Super Bowl. But the future is bright, and you just got to – You gotta use this as motivation, and like they can get that one seed next year, which is very reachable. There'll just be one more win, one more playoff win at home against, you know, some team that's coming up to the second round. They win that game, they're back in that situation, hosting. I think the best is still to come with this Lions. Even though as sad as that loss was, I was thinking we were getting Lions-Chiefs, which would have been a great game. It's what we started the season with. It's what hoping to end it. As bad as that was, the future is bright in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to see it that way. There are some interesting decisions to make this offseason, a couple guys roster-wise. It will be interesting to see, but that's a discussion again for a few weeks online. Let's, I guess, start kind of there a little bit with the in-game stuff. Look, I know it's a little bit different and everything. It's apples and oranges type stuff. But I'm a big go-for-it-on-fourth-down guy for the most part.
You did it in Madden a lot.
Still do it in Madden a lot. But, you know, there's a certain, I guess, fine line to this, right, where even I will just, like, scream at the TV like the idiot I am. Like, just take the three. And that happened twice with Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And
they blew it so fast.
You know, I don't know if only 3 points at the end of the day was going to save them in that sense, right? But, you know, it certainly changes the complexity and the face of what the 49ers have had to do after each of those moments and drives, which makes you wonder a little bit. Like I said, like Brock Purdy didn't win it with his arm. For San Fran, that's for sure. So it makes you wonder kind of about the decisions. And I get that Campbell did it all year. And I respect that he stuck to his guns. But at the end of the day, part of me is like, you just have a little bit of that. I think, you know, I don't know what to call it, whether it's conscience-wise or whatever, or just having, you know, the little – Angel Dan or Devil Dan on the other shoulder going at it, you know. It sucks that Detroit's season, it will be defined more or less by that.
Yeah.
Because of everything you said, right? Like, this is a team that, you know, I did expect to win the division this year, the NFC North, and, you know, to get to the NFC Championship game. I don't know if I would have predicted that, but they exceeded expectation, all things considered. And for it to be soured the way it ended does suck. But the only thing you can hope for is they just have to learn from it. You know, there's a couple other things within that too, right, where like the David Montgomery fumble and stuff like that, like, you know. And this is a thing too, like at the end-ish of the game, you know, that final drive, really, when Brock Purdy's just scrambling, like I said, winning it with his legs. And how they were sticking to man on defense worried me. And
I know you love your prevent.
Well, I hate prevent. And they weren't in prevent, but, like, you can still run zone. Like, the fact they didn't really have a true spy on Brock Purdy that final drive. Like, I'm sitting there going, like, what's going on here? Like, and that's the thing where, like, I'm sitting here and, like, if you're Kansas City, you have to feel really confident going into next weekend. Because if there's one thing that I know I have to do now, if I'm Kansas City, I know for a fact I'm more or less planning a one of my linebackers. He ain't leaving the box. You know, you're staying in there no matter what. So it's interesting. The San Fran side of things, at the end of the day, right, it's you win, and that's the big important thing. But, you know, those issues popped up again. You know, that offense did not look great for most of the game. Brock Purdy really did not look good a lot of that game. Like I said, he won it more with his legs than with his arm. I mean, he threw a lot of ducks in that game. And for a defense like Kansas City, like I said, they don't get a ton of turnovers, but they're good. They know when to get your stops and everything. I mean, that's got to be something they got to be looking at their chops for next week. Yeah. So hopefully, if you're a San Fran fan, and this is a thing, right, that's great about Super Bowl week, is you don't have to worry about the week before. I mean, these guys have 13 days really of you know, competition rest. And what I mean by that is, yeah, you still have practice. You aren't resting every day, but you're also not getting blown up every day. You know, Debo can get healthy. Kittle can get healthy. You know, all things considered, and I hate phrasing like this, like McCaffrey, who somehow stayed healthy all year in that sense, he can get rested up.
Is Kadarius Toney going to get healthy?
I don't know about that. I want to skip that for now, because I don't know what the hell's going on there. Yeah. I think it's shifting every day. Isn't
his wife just had a kid or something.
Well, yeah. But, you know, an underrated part of this, we talked obviously a lot about Debo being hurt and some of these other weapons, but, like, San Fran's offensive line's been dinged up a lot down the stretch, too, mainly Trent Williams. So now you get them all healthy, you know, rested up and healthy for 13 days. Like, could that be a big turning point? To me, absolutely. You know, when that line was healthy, I think that's when you saw the best version of Brock Purdy. And I think that's the perfect example when I tell people about, like, for me, especially being a Commanders fan, like, Sam Howell isn't the answer. I'm like, yeah, you might be right. But, like, we don't know until he actually has an offensive line in front of him.
I know. That's
the huge thing.
Give him that Trent Williams. Like, seriously. Right.
And I say about a ton of quarterbacks. I said that about Daniel Jones. I've said that down in Tampa Bay with now Baker Mayfield. But, like, you look what Tom Brady was able to live 2 years longer with a really good offensive line. You know, we dunk on them a ton, but Dallas's offensive line up until the past really year and a half, 2 years, was their staple for this, like, run of, like, at least good football they've had. You know, it having a good offensive line makes the world. It literally changes your ability on offense to do pretty much anything. And that, to me, is a big part. And to that end, right, Kansas City is in the same boat. Like, they're going to get that offensive line healed up and rested. That's going to make a world of difference, too, for them. So, you know, if you're San Fran, I think you got to be at least on the more positive side looking at things, only because you know you're going to have it's not 13 days at this point, it's like 10, 11 days at this point, of more rest before you go into, you know, the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, it's exciting, you know, especially if your team's in there, and it's 2 weeks of, you know, building up for this big game, and it's for a fan, it's pretty exciting, but for the player, it's got to be even more exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's just, this is the big stage. There's no sporting event. There's a lot of reason why people still play football, to play in this game. There's no bigger sporting event in this world than the Super Bowl, and it's going to be like that until football eventually goes away. But I don't see that coming anytime soon. But
you never know.
No, that's the big stage. This is where someone can change. You could change your life. Look at David Tyree. Changed his life playing in this game.
Cuse legend.
Q's legend. Also giant legend.
Yep. Well, yeah, I mean, you're right, though. I mean, I don't think we know who Malcolm Butler is or Malcolm Brown or any of those guys, you know. But that's why you play the game. So, all right. It's enough football, I think, for now.
We'll to the hardwood.
We'll come back to that next week. To the hardwood? All right, if you insist. So the NBA, halfway through the year, not quite at the All-Star break. They have it, I guess, at that two-thirds on the mark pretty much for them. But it's been an interesting year. I think we're seeing kind of the what is now the old guard of the NBA from, I guess, early 2010 to 2020, 2021, really, kind of come to an end. It's frankly almost kind of shocking, though, the way to see Golden State kind of just wither away as quick as they have.
Yeah, I know.
And I always say that because...
Won it, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, and I always say that kind of because, like, you figure the structure they had and everything was at least going to keep them competitive, you know? But I think age more than health has kind of caught up to them. I mean, I know Klay hasn't been right since pretty much every injury that he had.
He looks not the same.
But he looks, I mean, even then, I think there's more stuff kind of going on there. I think there's the mental aspect of it with him that's brutal right now. I mean, obviously, we've talked a ton about Draymond this year. I don't want to get hung up too much on that, although he's having, weirdly, like his best year in 5 years. It's kind of weird. Steph's done pretty good for the most part, but it's the other guys around. Like Wiggins is having a miserable year. Some of these young guys they were counting on just
they got a big win over the Sixers produced. Last night.
Yeah, they still get these wins, but like they're definitely on the back end of this window.
They're out of the plan.
I don't mean to phrase it as like the Lakers as well in this, but like you're kind of seeing, I think, the final acts of LeBron kind of play out in real time. You know, he's still getting pretty good numbers, all things considered, but his, like, efficiency is miserable. Like, it's just not great.
His teams aren't great.
No. It's kind of weird. Also, and I only say it because of that, but, like, you know, LeBron's the oldest guy in the league, been around the longest, but, like, on the back end of that, I mentioned Steph, but, like, Kevin Durant also, now he's having a really good year, but, like, it's very funny. Not funny, not the right word, but strange, kind of seeing how that's kind of... Well, it,
no,
look, he's been in the league since 2007. And he's only...
Who's this again?
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, 2007.
Yeah, and I think you can kind of tell some age elements with him. Chris Paul's hurt, so I can't really lob him in there. But, like, they're all kind of the last of that, like, truly old guard kind of still hanging. Like,
as we've seen play their whole career.
Right, and that's why I keep, like, Steph in that conversation. Like, Steph's been in the NBA since 2008. Klay's been in the league since 2010. Draymond's been in the league since 2011. Like, all those guys are on the back end.
2011's a long time ago now.
Right. Like, it's one of those things where you're staring down the gun of, like, and this is the interesting part to me anyway. You know, you're staring down the gun of, like, kind of like these final acts of a lot of these guys where, you know, once they're gone, and I don't think it's talked about a lot, like, the other states have become your Bradley Beals, your Damian Lillards. I mean, I know he hasn't had a ton of talk this year, but, like, your CJ McCollums, like, Jimmy Butler's right there too, to be fair.
Julius Randle.
Randall, yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy that we're at that point where, I mean, Jokic is at his peak. I don't know how much longer that's going to ride, but, like, you're kind of seeing it play out in real time in the NBA this year. And it's kind of crazy to see, in all honesty.
Well, I mean, look at the teams. I mean, it's a young team, especially in the West. You got Minnesota and Oklahoma City towards the top. Mm-hmm. Denver's still a relatively young team. Yeah. They're towards the top. The Clippers are not. You know, they got a lot of veterans
on
this team.
That's the one team I didn't bring up in the West, but I think it's just because of how good they've been, where it's kind of just like, okay, like they're actually making it like work. And
it's actually, which didn't start that way.
Which, by the way, I have to put my hand up. I'm a little bit wrong on Ty Lue, but like clearly, like he's a good coach. Yeah. Like he, again, I think got caught up in that with GM stuff, as we call it. And honestly, since he's got pieces there in with the Clippers, that like he's making them a really good team.
Well, you should definitely know, because Spoelstra went through the same thing.
Yeah.
People didn't know if he was this good coach or not, because he just had LeBron as team to start his career. And now Ty Lue's starting to prove it with a very good team, but it's just a lot of guys who you've seen it. They lose in the playoffs. I mean, Russell Westbrook, James Harden.
Playoff P.
Paul George. They lose in the playoffs a lot, and they all have so much to prove this year. And the Clippers have a good team. I just don't know if they're going to beat the Nuggets. Timberwolves and Thunder are very young, very talented teams. I don't know how they're going to stack up being one of the better teams in the Western Conference. It's be interesting to watch. I mean, one thing I got to ask you a question tonight, though. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant goes back to Brooklyn for the first time. What would the reception be?
I'd imagine a lot of boos.
I think so, too.
The vitriol on X I've seen between...
He didn't win anything there.
Fans. Yeah, it's been bad. And
you have to win something.
Yeah, I think the way everything kind of went down anyway there at the end.
Yeah, and then if it goes bad.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's going to be a warm reception for him.
It's like,
being honest.
It's like Russell Wilson, how he went down with the Seahawks, but he actually won there, so it was mixed reviews.
Yeah.
You turn on the team, it's always going to be some boos.
Yeah.
But Kevin Durant never won with the Nets, so it's going to be straight boos tonight.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some cheers for him, but like,
Is your brother cheer for him?
Pat's always a weird cage, if I'm being honest with that. So.
Nets fans.
Yeah. I don't know. It will be interesting. I mean, just keeping in New York, I mean, your Knicks are one of the hottest teams, the hottest team in the league right now.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to be a little biased. But
and the wild part is, to me, I think they could still get better. I mean, I remember when they did the trade now,
16 games ago.
Actually, 4 weeks ago, yeah. For OG Anunoby. And I'm like sitting there like, that's good, but like still need to probably get a big in there. And I think part of it has to do with the fact, like, and I know it's tough because he's very, I would say, offensively limited. Like, when Mitchell Robinson comes back, I think that kind of solves a little bit of the issue. But like,
but your boy, Precious Achiuwa, is playing really well.
Yeah, I mean, he's not bad. It's just one of those things where it's like, and I don't see this happening. But I just knowing the way the team is, he's the perfect example of it. It makes you wonder what a guy like, say, like Vucevic could do in New York.
Yeah.
In all honesty. And that, like I said, I know that one's probably not going to happen. But like, the Bulls are one of the teams that pop up where it's like they're probably going to unload because they're just kind of stuck in purgatory right now. So it's not like one of those things. But it's like, it does make you wonder if they had a really good like two-way guy as opposed to like great one-way and below average the other way.
You talk about Vukovic for the Bulls?
Yeah.
Yeah, the only problem with Vukovic, he's a guy that needs the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
And he looks for post moves and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks, how they're developed, all their big men are not post move guys.
Right.
They're just there to clean up the boards. And that's
what I'm getting at, though.
Yeah, that's what's perfect about what the Knicks have done.
Oh.
They, you know, get rid of RJ. You don't have to give RJ his shots anymore, RJ Barrett. Now OG does his job. Defend. He's one of the best on-ball defenders in the league, and they don't need him to score. He does his role. Dante DiVincenzo coming in this year has been playing well. I have bias.
The Villanova Knicks are doing really well.
They're doing really well, and Jalen Brunson's starting to get some national recognition. He's proven everybody wrong again. I didn't know what we were getting 2 years ago when we signed him, and I'm a believer now.
Wow.
And Randle out right now is a little scary because, yes, Randle is a one-on-one type player. But he clears this floor, clears space, and he's a guy we need. We're not going to win without Randle. Yeah, we're 2-0 without him now. But we haven't played really. But tomorrow night against the Pacers, we'll learn a lot how they could do without Randle. But, yeah, they need Randle. They're not going anywhere without that guy. And he gets a lot of hate, but he's a very good player, man. And I hope him and Brunson make the All-Star team tomorrow. Brunson should definitely make the All-Star team. But I hope Randle gets the recognition, even though he probably won't play in the game. But, yeah, need him back. They're playing well. Just jumped the Sixers yesterday for the third seed right now. only a game half, game and a half back of the Bucks for the two seed. I mean, things are looking up right now. We're hot. Unfortunately, your Heat are not hot. They lost seven in a row.
Problems going on down there.
But I like the Rozier pickup.
They're another team that needs a big. Like, they need something. Yeah, I mean,
the deadline's what, next week?
Yeah, I mean, the Rozier pickup's big because, I mean, just frankly, they need a recharge on offense. And you kind of sacrifice a little bit on defense, which they've actually struggled with this year. And yesterday they kind of had it figured out a little bit, and then they end up just kind of coasting at the end and losing, and it's whatever. But, yeah, I mean, they're right at – I mean, they're 24-23. I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit kind of like what they had last year in a way. I don't know. But they need some sort of big guy. Look, Bam's a small five when he has to play the five, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, like, I mean, we've seen it when them and the Knicks go up against each other, for example, like – Bam does admittedly struggle a little bit with, like, a Mitchell Robinson type guy, you know. And I think, you know, he matches up well against Boston, for example, because, like, you're going up against Al Horford, who's just, like, an older version of you, you know, at that point.
I like that Robert Williams, but they trade him for Drew Holiday, whatever. He's Portland now.
He's out, though. He's out for the year.
Yeah, he is done for the year. But I liked him.
Yeah.
Thought that was a big loss for the Celtics, but the Celtics, they improved. I mean, losing Marcus Smart was a big loss, but they replaced with Drew Holiday and picked up KP while doing it.
Yeah, the Celtics have been, I don't know if it's like, a pleasant surprise. They've been kind of with the spot here, but this is if last year wasn't like, this has got to be the make or break year kind of for that unit as a whole. I mean, they're in the right spot to kind of capitalize on, obviously, at this point, so. They are amazing to be seen. The East has a lot of question marks, but I mentioned it last year. I think it's happening this year, but it's happening just kind of step by step. You're seeing the East be the more dominant conference over the West. Now, I think the West might be that hair better again by the end of the year this year, but, like, the tide is shifting. And
they're playing teams are bad.
Yeah, the West, it's one of those things where I think it's – I don't know if top-heavy is the right word – only because, like, the middle for them is murky. But, like, and the East does have bad teams. Very much so true.
The race for 14th is
in Washington. Stand up.
And Charlotte's bad, too.
Charlotte's the one that's, like, actually, like, had me questioning a lot. Because I don't think that team should be as bad as they are. But I don't think they should be great either. But, like, I don't think they should be
they got a lot of players on that team, though.
Yeah, they have talent. But, I don't know. Yeah, so the NBA is at an interesting spot. All right, NHL quick before we get out of here. At their All-Star break, last day of games. So some teams are finishing up before they'll have their de facto 9-day break. Some teams have already been done, are in the middle of their 9-day break with the All-Star break. In Toronto this year, which is pretty cool. It's hockey's kind of de facto home city. Hall of Fame's there. Obviously, one of the most storied franchises in the original six, and the Maple Leafs are there. It's pretty interesting, though, because there is the cloud of the sexual assaults going on, mainly with the 2018 junior team in Canada. No All-Stars are involved in that, but, you know, good young players on ice have been involved in that. So it'll be interesting to kind of see through the All-Star break how the league handles that. They haven't swept under the rug, but they've been quiet about it. So my hope is that you see press kind of lay the gas pedal a little bit on Bettman and maybe some other league officials there for that. In terms of on ice, been a pretty interesting and fun year. We were kind of talking about a little bit on the fantasy element of it before we went on air, Nick. Like, goaltending's in a weird spot because, like, the numbers just aren't there for it this year. And it's kind of true to a degree. But goalie health and, you know, like, for me, I know firsthand with the Lightning, it's been bad this year. Vasilevsky, for example, was out the first quarter to a third of the year because he had back surgery. And now he's kind of figured it out a little bit. But goalies have been the name of the game this year in the NHL. And I know it's the way it should be.
Skaters just getting better?
You know, it's a good question, actually. Like, the skill set, the speed element of it. And, you know, we got Rob with Connor Bedard getting hurt and being out as long as he has after taking that cheap shot. But,
yeah,
you know, you think about it, you go from, say, like, McDavid, who Actually, you can go way deeper than that. You could probably go back to Sidney Crosby. You know, kind of the first of the really quick, you know, pirouette-type skaters. You know, Ovechkin, quick. I wouldn't call him a pirouette back in the day. A bit more on the grizzly side, I would call it. But, yeah, maybe. Maybe. You'll get a lot of these guys now the past decade to 15 years come into the league in their primes, whether Crosby, Ovechkin, Malkin, to, like, Stamkos and Kucherov, they stick out to me. You know, the Rangers in that original kind of run, I'll call it, you know, Zuccarello. Kreider a little bit. I wouldn't call him maybe finesse, but he, you know, could dangle. To now with, like, obviously with Bedard, but McDavid, Dreisaitl,
Matthews,
Marner, if he ever figures it out, Nylander.
JT Miller's having a great year.
You might be onto something with that. You know, that the forwards have just gotten to a point where it's like, damn, like, they're really good. Like, we kind of saw it with defenders a little bit in the past, like, 10 years as well, to a degree, and now they've kind of plateaued, I'd say, skill-wise for the time being. But, like, your Victor Hedmans, guys like that, P.K. Subban when he was at his peak, you know, guys who could actually, like, kind of be really skillful with the stick in addition to being a bruiser on defense.
Here's what I'll ask you, Paul. Two big things could happen this year. Austin Matthews could have 70 goals, and the Edmonton Oilers could break the NHL win streak record.
Yep.
Both can happen. One can happen. Neither going to happen.
So you're more or less asking me which one will either happen, will both happen.
Will neither happen?
I see. It's always tough with win streaks because, like, you have to think.
It's like two away, right?
It's like the losing, right? It's like the losing streak element of, like, well, they have to win eventually. Like,
especially they're getting a big break.
They'll
here,
have
though.
To lose eventually. Like that, and that's a double-edged sword. I don't think people never discuss it the way it really is.
It's a big break.
I'll say this. I think you're more.
What's Matthews at? 40 goals?
Yeah.
35 games, something like that?
Yeah. God, that's tough, too, because all it takes is having, like, a three-game cold streak for whatever reason to really derail that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the win streak's going to happen. I know the All-Star break is now.
Yeah.
And it's tough to come back after.
I guess I'm with you. So I think it's more likely you see the winning streak happen than 70 goals.
70 goals only happen a couple times.
Right. I'd like to see both. Like, that'd be a really good hockey story this season.
Man, how bad was Edmonton? They're still, like, third in their division, even with this big win.
They did not have a good start.
I don't understand. What's the deal with them? Are they going to go to the cup finals this year or what?
Yeah.
They got the two best players in the league.
Yeah, for them, it's always kind of come down to the defense and goaltending. Not so much offense, obviously, because, I mean, it's not just, in all fairness, it's not just McDavid and Dreisaitl up there. They got Evander Kane, who's having a good year. Other guys have kind of come in and out, obviously, whether, you know, Nugent Hopkins always comes to mind a little bit, too, so. Yeah, I don't know.
And Boston's back on top. Mm-hmm. I mean, they seem like they have some unfinished business to do this year.
Yeah.
Buffalo is disappointing again. Pittsburgh and Washington declining?
Yeah, I mean, that was going to have to happen eventually with both, right? Just age catches up to you. I mean, their cores are collectively still on the older end.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's in the better spot, though, I would say, because they got enough kind of younger guys lingering around that I don't, you know, they should be fine in the playoffs this year.
My Rangers have reeled of late, but still winning division.
Yeah. Well, they got off to a really good start, and so that means you can kind of take your lumps when you got to take your lumps. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the Rangers are – I like them where they're at kind of right now. You know, I don't know if they'll really push through the finish line this year in that sense.
Last year was so disappointing.
Right, but they're at enough of a spot that I think, you know – it shows last year might have been just kind of like the training wheel type year where it's like, okay, we outdid what we, you know, we overachieved what we did last year in that sense. And then they kind of had the sophomore type slump year, if you will, with the young guns. Where they're at, I think they're in a good spot.
Give Vancouver some props, having a great year.
Yeah, JT Miller, former Ranger, former Lightning Bolt. You know, I don't know. Vancouver's always a mystery to me. Because they still had a little bit of turmoil going on at the start of this year with Brock Besser and everything. And I don't know. The West is very confusing to me at this point. The East...
It always seems like the same teams in the East.
Yeah, the East, I mean, Boston, like you said, Boston just, they lost people just because of age, but...
The West varies.
Their goaltending is just so absurd in Boston.
The West changes so all the time. You have Dallas, you have Las Vegas step up.
They're still good, you know.
Yeah.
But to that end, right, like Seattle's meddling this year. You know, the Avs are still there, but they've kind of had a weird, quiet stretch. Kings and the Ducks are in two different spots, but, like, the Kings are in a better spot, I guess, than the Ducks in a way. I don't know.
San Jose is pitiful.
What? You know, yo. You want to talk about a bad team.
Rangers lost to them, though, at least in overtime, but that was a bad loss.
Yeah, so. And their trade deadline, I think, is, what, 2 weeks away? Two or three? Something like that, so.
NHL best all-star game?
No.
Baseball.
NASCAR.
NASCAR?
No. NASCAR
still counts in standings.
I do like the NHL All-Star game just because it's different, right? They're the only one who does the tournament style, but that's just because it's kind of the way the sport kind of is. It kind of lends itself to it. Still think I would rather just see East versus West, though, at the end of the day in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Two quick games, too.
Right. So, I don't know. All right. I think that does it for today. How about it, Nick? Okay.
Yeah, it's big week next week, Super Bowl week. It's going to be a good one.
So preview the Super Bowl next week, probably whatever else kind of pops up. I mean, usually our Super Bowl preview is pretty much all we talk about that week, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else. Yeah. Enjoy the NASCAR this weekend?
Yes, the Clash this weekend. Looking forward to that out in L.A. Allegedly, I will call it the last year in the Coliseum that they're going to be doing that.
Really?
Allegedly. Be interesting to kind of see what happens with that, but that's probably a thing we won't get told until June or July about, so...
It's a good, interesting schedule this year. Watkins Glen in September.
Looking forward to it, but we're 2 weeks away from the NASCAR preview, as I call it. So, who are you shouting out today, Nick?
Shouting out Jake and Steph Coons. They had their twins.
Well, congratulations
this week.
All right.
Forgive me, I forgot their names already, but shout out to Steph and Jake on their first kids.
Congratulations.
Pair of twins to start. How about that?
Pair of twins. That's a hell of a way to phrase it.
Congrats on the twins.
Congratulations.
Shout out.
So we'll be back next Wednesday. Preview the Super Bowl. Looking forward to that. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Like, share, subscribe, all the fun stuff. We will see everybody next Wednesday.